This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, everyone. Place to Be Nation Universe, and we are here for night one of WrestleMania in the Reaction Show series. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And the Reaction Show is just like WrestleMania itself. It's too big for one night. We're splitting it up over two nights. We figured that would be best to do that, to get, you know, have fresh reactions of each show and not have a marathon reaction show, because God knows we don't need that. But anyway, Devin, WrestleMania night one. I mean, we've had, you know, basically a month now of empty arena television that build up this show, Raw and SmackDown, NXT, what have you, and it's been different, to say the least, than, you know, watch wrestling shows with no fans. But I gotta say, for WrestleMania build-wise, it was tremendous, because the angles got over better, the promos got over better, because of that fact, in my opinion. Where do you stand on all that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think sometimes, and that happened a little bit tonight, but, you know, not that bad, but I think sometimes when the matches are going on, particularly when it comes to a match that goes a little bit longer, it's kind of hard to stay focused without fans. For me, it is a little bit, but as far as the promos and the angles and the build is concerned, the focus has been way, way more than it ever has been in years in some ways. It's honestly insane. And I don't know if it's part of it is because there are no fans to do the what chance and to, you know, have the wrestlers have to sort of react to what they're doing, or if the wrestlers are more focused in what they're having to say. Like, I don't know what it is, but the promos have been amazing. Edge has cut some amazing promos. Orton, Rollins even cut a really good promo recently.
Owens.
Owens too. Yeah. Owens on Raw was excellent this past week. Just, you know, Becky's cut several good promos. It's just, and everything, every match has been built to with solid, consistent focus. Like, there's no BS anymore. Because, you know, in the situation that they're in, very unfortunate as it is, you know, they're sort of forced to be more consistent and stay on task. You know, they don't really have the opportunity or the ability to go off topic as much now in terms of booking and writing shows. And it's making things, you know, an easy breezy, easy peasy, as Oscar would say, watch. So, you know, it's been a really, really good build. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, the wrestling, you know, has been hit and miss, sure. But like I said, it's been tremendous for the non-wrestling stuff. And, it definitely has made me more interested in some things than I would have been if not. But I'll tell you this. There's stuff that's happening on these nights that wouldn't have happened if we had a regular WrestleMania. And we're going to talk about that as we go along here. And let's start with that. Let's talk about the pre-show. And yes, there was a pre-show. And one match, but it was a hell of a damn match. Cesaro wrestled Drew Gulak. And these two, they had a really damn good wrestling match. Both guys just, you know, going out there and just doing the thing, man. Props to them. And that's what I've thoroughly enjoyed, the Brian Gulak Artist Collective feud, because it just seems, especially in you know, what we have had going on now with the, you know, fan stuff too, they're just going out there and just having fun and being able to do what they want to do in a lot of ways. Brian, you know, and that whole crew. And I mean, Gulak, who would have thought that Drew Gulak would be in the position he's in, you know, just a few months ago. But hell of a match. And, you know, fucking Cesaro won it with a UFO, of all things. the UFO on WWE television, for those who don't know, it's the airplane spin. And then Cesaro drops his arms while the man is still spinning on his neck and drops him. It's just insane. Insane. And was that was the finish. It's just tremendous. So what are your thoughts on this match and this whole feud in general?
Yeah, this match was real, real good. They worked a really tight, fast-paced match. A lot of cool little neat things that guys can do that were thrown in there. I liked Gulak's arm work. Cesaro's great at selling the arm. If you notice, he, you know, threw his uppercut to set up the UFO with his good arm. And the commentary did a good job of noting that, you know, Michael Cole on commentary did a good job noting that he did the move, you know, the UFO because of his bad arm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a good reason to do the UFO. Just, you know, two guys who, you know, can kick ass whether there's, you know, zero fans or not. Just a really, really, really good start to the show. I like this a lot. And yeah, man, we'll talk more about Zayn later tonight. But you know, a lot of people pointed out that, you know, well, Zayn, he's better as a babyface wrestler. He's so good as a babyface. He is. He's a tremendous babyface, one of the all-time greats. But he's really fucking good as a heel. Like, he's really good as a cowardly, sniveling, conniving, annoying heel. He's awesome at it. Like, he's a great promo. He's a great annoying manager. Like, he's like, the whole act is awesome. Their feud with Braun was great early in the year. And now this feud with Brian and Gulak has been really consistent. And they've had the best matches and then in the empty arena shows this last month. Yeah, it's just a really, really awesome and fun mid-card feud all around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we go to the main show proper, and we have the women's tag title match lead off, as Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi, defended their tag titles against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And this match got a lot of time. I was kind of surprised it got a lot of time in a way, but they went out there and they busted their asses, man. Props to them. They worked hard, and both teams are really good at what they do as far as their characters and their shtick. Asuka has been the MVP of this whole run lately. She has upped her stock in that company exponentially this past month. I mean, they have in there doing commentary, cut promos, just even show up in segments that she has nothing to do with, like when she did announcing on the Andrade match on Raw a couple weeks ago. Just stuff she has nothing to do with. They just bring her out there to have her do something because she's just crazy and entertaining. And yeah, this match was again, you know, went a little while and was pretty damn good for what it was. And there was a few spots in there that was a bit interesting, especially some of the editing. This was a bit being pre-taped, they could do that, but there was some edit issues in this match. But all in all, I thought it was a fun match. Alexa and Nikki won the match, which, you know, I love Asuka and Kairi, but that was the right decision in my opinion, having the champions. And yeah, so there you go. Your thoughts on this match and everybody involved.
Yeah, this was a really, really well worked match. They worked really hard in this match. I think it was probably a little bit too long, mostly because it was an empty arena show. But like, I know that if there was a crowd there, the crowd would have really been into it. So I you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where I know that if the crowd was there, they probably would have popped for it big. Some good stuff. The twisted Bliss onto Asuka, who was over, you know, on Nikki with the Asuka lock, was pretty brutal. Yeah, this is a really good match. Gosh, it probably went 15 minutes. Yeah, this was longer than I thought it would be, but it was really, really, really good. Kind of surprised me, honestly. And yeah, it was a good match. I figured Nikki and Alexa would win, and I think it's the right choice too. So be looking forward to see what they have in store.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and we have some new opponents now, and just new ways, new things of with involved with the belts. So yeah, and I guess Asuka and Kairi, whatever. But here's the thing: we got that. Who knows? After Raw and NXT this week, which supposedly have already been taped, who knows when we're going to get live wrestling again? So
right now we're just
this is basically the end. Pretty much. I mean, they're probably going to shoot some stuff for whatever they have planned for down the line, on the next two TV shows. But we have no idea when we're going to have live wrestling again. And, we'll talk about that later on, especially involving the main event. I mean, this is, like I said, this is like a season finale in a lot of ways, or, something like that. This is just... it's totally different. They can do title changes and stuff like that, but who knows what's going to happen down the line. We have no idea.
Right. So, we don't.
Because, normally, in business, the superstar shakeup will be coming up, but that's not going to happen, obviously. So,
nope.
As far as we know, now they may do a superstar shakeup just to do it. They can do that. They can do that in a studio setting, but who knows? All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, next match. I'm trying to remember what next match was now. I'm drawing a blank.
Corbin Elias.
No wonder. Corbin and Elias. The match I had the least amount of passion for on this show. I don't watch SmackDown, so only thing I've seen from this whole thing is Elias falling off the birdcage deal and this and the other. Corbin had been feuding Roman Reigns forever, and thank God that's over with. But this was basically, just a nothing match for me. They went out there and worked, and it was, it was what it was. Elias got the win, so good for him. But I think the stat that got me was Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show, tweeted out that Elias, since 2018, has only had 3 singles matches on pay-per-view. One in 2018, wow. One in 2019. No, not singles. I think pay-per-view matches, period. One in 2019 and one in 2020. How about that? But he's been on, doing this, shtick and stuff. But, wow. But anyway, he beat Corbin here. So, props to Elias. Your thoughts on the whole thing?
My favorite part was Corbin trying to get heat from Michael Cole and JBL on commentary. when he was working over Elias in the ropes, and he was yelling at JBL and Cole because there were no fans to yell at. It was just very amusing to me. I was like, really? Like, but yeah, it was fine. Like, it was a match that I wasn't interested in either. The highlight was probably watching the replay of Corbin pulling the Mufasa spot from Lion King onto Elias. which was also heavily edited too, by the way. This was what it was. I kind of thought Gronk would get involved because he was involved in that stupid segment when he first showed up a couple of weeks back, but
forgot to mention him. Yes,
he didn't. But yeah, this match was what it was. It was also funny to listen to Jessica Carr yell at Baron Corbin for like the entire match. But it was fine. Didn't care for it, but it was relatively inoffensive.
Yeah, you mentioned Gronk, and I forgot to mention that. Yeah, Gronk and Mojo Rawley started the show as the host of the show, where Gronk was wearing a jacket that Pat Tanaka, Paul Diamond would have been proud of in 1988, Bad Company. But, they were hosting the show, and, they were something else.
yeah. Them chopping each other reminded me in high school when Lex Lee and I, Paul Lee's son, used to chop each other in the weight room locker room. But, that's It's a true story, by the way.
That is true. he's not lying, folks.
But we also forgot to mention the insanely awesome opening, by the way.
Oh, the opening video. Oh, yeah. The opening video was tremendous. Because they were using the opening video they were going to use. And then just, like, did all kind of, you know...
Comedy goofy
shit mixed around it. And Stephanie opened the show as well, talking about, you know, how this show was different and be a distraction and all this other stuff. So
right.
And Corbin played the harmonica in the pre-show, so we had that too. Right. So we're catching up on time here, but yeah, and JBL's on commentary, Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And so because Graves was in studio for the kickoff show with Peter Rosenberg. Thank God that. Sam Roberts wasn't announcing on this show. A lot of people were scared.
Oh, God, I know. He was a nightmare in NXT.
Yeah, see, people were scared to death of that one. All right, next. And this kind of was interesting, the placement. Raw women's title match. Becky Lynch defending against Shayna Baszler. Becky showed up in her big rig. Large Marge sent you. And Shayna had all red gear on, which she doesn't normally wear. So she had her WrestleMania gear on, but yeah, this was a really good match. It was kind of short though, but man, they were hitting each other hard, which is all you wanted in this whole deal. And Becky was trying to get this armor on Shayna locked on the cure for the clutch. Becky rolled through, and in the process she did the Piper Brett finish, where she flipped over, she was on, you know, on her neck. Shayna's shoulder was down, and 1, 2, 3, pinfall, which was a very interesting finish because, you know, everybody was kind of thinking that Shayna was going to beat Becky, and if we would have had WrestleMania as it proper, she would have probably beat Becky because the talk was that Becky and Seth was going on a extended vacation. Well, everybody's going on extended vacation now. So it doesn't matter. But the talk that Rhonda is, you know, back in the cards, and, you know, Becky and Rhonda's definitely got to be on the books for next year's WrestleMania. So Becky retained her title. So your thoughts on the decision here and where we go from here with Shayna and Becky and Rhonda and whatever.
I thought the match was really good. There was an interview with Ariel Helwani, what was it last week after the show was taped, where Becky had like a swollen eye, looked to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's legit because some of those strikes Shayna were throwing seemed to connect.
There was some stiff energy.
They were really hard hitting in this. I really enjoyed this match a good bit, actually. I liked that Shayna dominated. I liked that she basically kicked Becky's ass, and that Becky basically had to pull out the veteran Brett Piper finish to kind of run away with it. I wasn't thrilled with the finish, but I think I know, you know, like you mentioned, it's a consequence of the circumstances. And, you know, Shayna was probably going to win in front of a large crowd, but do you really want Shayna winning? Not in front of a large crowd. And it'll be interesting to see tomorrow night with Brock and McIntyre. Interesting, very interesting. See how that goes. Kind of situation in some ways, but
depends on the match placement.
You know, right. You're exactly right. But yeah, you know, this was a really good match, and you know, you noted Rhonda. You know, there's a rumor, you know, from a few sources, I think even of her meeting up with WWE officials and like. All this, you know, all these rumors about this stuff, you know, it seems more likely that she's probably going to come back here within the next year. So, you know, that's probably a factor. There were a couple of factors. I think the Ronda factor and the fact that, you know, they probably wanted Shayna to win with an actual audience were probably the two main factors. But I did like this match a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people didn't like it, which I don't understand. But I think there was a lot of people that watched this show on Twitter that were just trying their best just not to like everything that was going on. So.
Right.
It is what it is. All right. Next, the Intercontinental title match. Sami Zayn defending against Daniel Bryan, where Gronk and Mojo did the yes chant from the perch as Brian Gulak entered, which was interesting. Sami, of course, came out with his crew, the Artists Collective, and Gulak was with Brian, and there's a lot of bullshit early on, you know, Sami stalling around, which was fun. Would have got some heat in the building, but, you know, it was fun for what it was here. Gulak and Cesaro Nakamura got involved. They went over the barricade. Sami tried to leave. Gulak was going to stop him. Brian said, no, let him go. Yeah, Brian chased him. And then Brian just was going to town on Sami. He had this one tope suicida outside on the wall. We went shoulder first into the wall, which looked nasty. I mean, we got some stiff shots for both men. The Nakamura and Cesaro recovered. They attacked Gulak. Then Brian had another tope suicida on them on the floor. And as Brian was leaping off the top rope to hit his drop kick, Sami caught him with a haluva kick in the air and won the match. This was shorter than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a longer match, but it was really damn fun, really damn good. And, yeah, Sami, as Devin was saying, you know, Sami is a tremendous babyface worker, but he's also a pretty damn good heel worker, too. So that's good when you're able to be that proficient in both roles. So props to him. So your thoughts on the title stand with Sami Zayn in the match?
Match was a lot of fun match. I liked it a good bit. I liked that they worked it completely differently than any other match. I mean, he's the greatest of all time, basically. So I mean, you know, he's smart enough to know that, oh, you know, let's do something a little bit differently. And I like the Zabisco stalling early on with Zayn and the then you know, Gulak getting involved with the Artist Collective and fighting them off. Brian beat the shit out of Sami Zayn. Like he pummeled this guy all over the place, just get out of him. Another thing, Sami, his appearance and attire, he looks like a homeless bum who handed off his sign to his buddy on the side of the freeway to go have a wrestling match. But
I say it looks like the Cuban Assassin, but El Sierra. He needs a cigar. He needs a cigar.
Right. But yeah, this was a
violent he looks like a cross between your brother Dylan and Fidel Sierra.
Very, very apt comparison there. But yeah, Brian was violent as hell in this. I love Zayn stealing the win at the end. Yeah, this is a really entertaining match. I liked it a good bit. I don't know, you know, I think it would probably be up in the air if they were in front of fans who would have won. I feel like Zayn probably won because there were no fans, but I'm totally cool with it because, you know, you can kind of build to Zayn finally getting beat. And that's, I think that ultimately is a smarter play. So yeah, you know, I like the match and the result fine.
Yeah. And again, who knows where we're going to be at, you know, who knows. All right. Next we get one of my pet peeves of wrestling. We had a ladder match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, but it was a three-way dance involving singles. And yes, I know that The Miz had his deal and stuff like that, but I hate tag titles being on the line in non-tag team matches. I'm sorry. That's just my thing. But anyway, John Morrison, Kofi Kingston, and Jimmy Uso, winner of the match, got the belts when they took the belts down. And I tell you what, there's nobody in that building except for the guys and the people that worked. These three guys right here went out there and just went balls out, taking crazy bumps. You know, the ladder, stuff with the ladders, hard as shit. I mean, God bless these guys and their love and devotion to the wrestling business, cause ain't nobody there watching them when they did this. And it was, you know, WrestleMania was supposedly taped, you know, between like 11, 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. So these guys were probably out there 2 in the morning doing this match, man. And dedication. That's what I was going to say. These three guys right here, they deserve bonuses. Absolutely. Everybody does. But they definitely deserve bonuses for what they were doing, man. Crazy, crazy bumps. I just, too many to damn really say. John Morrison walking the tightrope on that top rope could have went so bad, but he hit it. And just the bumps on ladders and everything, man, and barricades and, oh, you know, ladder bridges and all kind of shit. But at the end, all three of them were up there fighting on the top. They had two ladders. They were fighting for the belts. Kofi and Jimmy hit John at the same time, and John, they were struggling over the control of the coat hanger with the belts, and John, when they hit John, he fell back and they took the control with him. So that pressure went with him as he fell, and so both belts landed with him, and he had one of them in his hand when he hit the ladder back first very hard, and he was the winner of the match. So just crazy, crazy, crazy shit for nobody in the building. Wow. Thoughts?
Oh yeah, this was wild, man. Like, they fucking went nuts. I'm with you first, Chris. I knew they were going to do this triple threat singles. I knew that was what was going to happen. And I was like, why don't they just give Morrison a fucking partner? Like, it ain't that fucking hard. You know, there's somebody back there or in Florida that can drive 10 miles to this damn thing and have a match. I mean, like,
yeah,
like, bridge that they made on the floor. I thought they were going to do Morrison was going to do the tightrope and then top rope Spanish fly through Kofi and Uso through the fucking ladder bridge. Like, I was mortified they were going to do that. Luckily they didn't.
Yeah.
Kofi's insane springboard Frankensteiner was nuts. Off the ladder. That was insane. That's like one of the craziest ladder spots I've seen. Jimmy Uso's trash talk was tremendous. Him like trying to pump himself up and like talking trash ruled. The finish was a little bit off in execution, but I like the idea. I think it could have been done a little bit better. They could have maybe used the editing prowess to fix that a little bit, I think. But otherwise, I thought it was a smart finish. And overall, I really enjoyed the match. I thought all three guys went balls to the wall and kicked ass. It was a good match.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Props to these dudes. Absolutely. All right. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. Two of your favorites. And Seth come out in his all-white gear looking like Andrade. With the man bun and everything. And then Owens came out in his KO Mania 4 shirt. And match started, and they went on and had some good action. One thing I say, you know, these two have been in a feud for a while now. Some say maybe too long. And they didn't go out there and immediately just start with a collar and elbow. They went out there and started fighting. So props to them. They were brawl from the start. And Seth hit a fucking Falcon Arrow on the apron, which Kevin Owens, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, there's nobody in the building. Like, hey, again, props to these guys as well, man. Dedication. They love the business, and they were doing crazy shit. And, well, more crazy shit to come. They were hitting all their spots. Seth avoided the stunner, kicked Owens in the head. Owens then hit Rollins with a clothesline. They eventually brawled to the floor, where Rollins grabbed the ring bell and smashed Owens in the head with it, with a loud ding for the DQ. And I was like, oh boy. I kind of figured this was not going to be the finish. So Owens grabbed the mic and demanded Rollins get back in the ring. What are those rules? No DQ. Call him a bitch. And Rollins was like, okay. Which, hey. Rollins was happy he had the DQ finish, but then he was called a bitch. So his pride took over for him. That's why I'm going to explain this. His pride took over for him. So the referee ordered the match to start. And they restarted the match. Again, more brawling outside the ring. Rollins cleared the announce table. Owens hit him with the bell twice, very hard. And then Owens laid Rollins on the table. He climbed on top of the WrestleMania sign. Finally, somebody did it. After all these years, he climbed on top of the WrestleMania sign and jumped off in a dangerous-looking spot. And that table had no crash pad under it. That table just destroyed. And Owens got Rollins back in the ring, hit the stunner. Rollins just fell into a heap. 1, 2, 3. Owens wins the match. And Owens wins the feud. I hope. So. There you go. The second half of that. The second half of that was really damn good, man. As far as spots and stuff. The action was good. Again, both men, went out there and put a tremendous effort on. So, I liked it. And I know you're not too fond of both these men, but. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, they actually had a good match before the restart. Good solid stuff. It's a good match to have in an empty arena. Just hit a bunch of spots for like 8 minutes. But the problem is, why the fuck did they do the restart? God, I dropped the F-bomb tons today. But like, why?
You and Undertaker.
Why did they do the restart? Right. Why did they? I hated the restart. First of all, why don't you just have a no DQ match in the first place? Because think about it. It's in 2 nights. The show's there's 2 shows. Edge and Orton, which would be a similar match, is not till tomorrow. You can have a no DQ match tonight.
I get you. And you're right. But I don't know.
Start. It was dumb. But yes, after the restart, it was great. Look, that Owens dive was one of the craziest Mania spots ever.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was not edited because the slow-mo on that looked like an old All Japan 90s slow-mo, you know? I'm talking about like the end credits. Like that, and they followed through the slow-mo all the way to the end. And that was like a one-shot. There wasn't no editing crash pad to that shit. That was just total insanity from Owens there. Total Foley-esque shit there. But the last couple of minutes after the restart were excellent. I just wish they didn't do the restart and wish they just had a no DQ match for like 10-15 minutes. But otherwise, I thought it was, you know, ultimately, you know, good stuff. It just the restart just bothered me. The restart was the worst part of the show tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it, you know, and I understand what they, I understand, because God knows we've seen that many times in the past, you know?
Sure.
So this is definitely not nothing new, so anyway, they made it worth it, at least. Next, Gronk and Mojo are up there on the first time at WrestleMania. When True showed up, he wanted them to hide him. So you know what's coming next. Truth was saying, I can't attend any public functions. People are coming after me. Well, nobody can attend public functions hardly these days, True. So anyway, Gronk and Mojo attacked him. Gronk tried to pin him, but Mojo pulled him off. And Mojo pinned him to regain the 24/7 championship. But Gronk didn't look too happy. So. Can we see Gronk and Mojo be an impossible match in the future? Huh? It would make sense for Gronk's first opponent to be his friend, you know?
Right. I wish somebody tweeted, I don't remember who it was, somebody tweeted they should have done spots and vignettes of Truth wandering through the streets of Florida, like with no one around, like wondering where everybody was. They definitely should have done a vignette with him going into Raymond James Stadium, wondering where the hell everybody was.
Yeah, they should have. That would have been perfect. Yeah, that would have been perfect if it did. But I do like the new 24/7 shirts they've got out now for social distancing. It's you know, the shirts they had Truth 24/7. Now the new shirts have Home 24/7. I do like that. Some people, they need to stay at home 24/7. So anyway, there you go. All right, Paul Heyman cut a promo with Kayla next, propping up the Brock Drew match tomorrow night. So there's that. Then we get Braun Strowman against Goldberg for the Universal Championship. Of course, Roman Reigns was supposed to be in this match. And with all the stuff going on, they made the decision pretty much not to have him on the show, which was probably the smart decision. And Braun takes his place. And, of course, there was conjecture about how this was going to be changed, where Triple H said this is going to be done in a unique manner, and then it was just announced with no fanfare on SmackDown. So Vince McMahon changed his mind, I guess, on what they were, how they were going to do it. They just did it. So there you go. Anyway, Goldberg did his dressing room deal, even though we have what we have with security. They get in there. Let's see. Goldberg hit about 4 spears. Braun hit about 4 slams, and yeah. That was it. Braun Bender 1-2-3. Braun's the Universal Champion. Match went 2 minutes and 12 seconds. This wasn't Brock Goldberg. I would have been interested to see them do this type of match in front of a live crowd. I think this match may have been hurt the worst without a crowd. I think a crowd for this match probably would have been crazy. So I don't know. But anyway, Braun finally got his big win, Devin. He never was able to beat Brock. He beat Roman, but he finally got his big win, you know, over a big name like Goldberg. He's now the champion. Thoughts?
I've got some heat with Braun right now. I think he said some stupid stuff recently, and I'm sure you know what it is. But
yeah. He made a lot of cracks about independent wrestling. And
right.
Here's the thing about Braun Strowman. I mean, yeah, it was not the right thing to say. It was stupid. It was bad. But he's a guy that never did independent wrestling. I mean, he's a guy that went from strongman competitions right to the performance center. So his opinion of independent wrestling is going to be different than just anybody else that didn't work in independent wrestling, because he didn't have that. He didn't have that, you know, didn't have that background. He just went straight to the performance center and came out there, you know, to do what he does. And hey, there are other guys that have done the same thing that he did, but they've never gone out and said what they've said about independent wrestling. So, but you know, Braun, the thing about Braun is that Braun's got a reputation for being a cool dude and everybody loves him. So I don't know. It was interesting to read those comments from him. It really was. I wouldn't expect him to say something like that, but he did.
Right.
And for it. But, you know, it is what it is.
He's a guy who's been hurt for a long time.
Should have beat Brock.
Yep. That was it that hurt him. You know, then they did the stupid thing with, you know, went in with John Coden's kid in a tag title match. you know, so, I mean, like, he's just been hurt and hurt. It's just, this doesn't, I mean, you know, he gets his moment, but it still feels like, you know, I don't know, it just still feels like they just sort of gave it to him because they had to. I mean, really, that's true.
Well, Roman was going to be Goldberg, so.
Right.
Goldberg was losing the title, just Braun happened to be the guy that did. But hey, I mean, beggars can't be choosers.
Sure, yep. You know, it's. As far as the match goes, you know, it was a good sprint. Our internet connection went out after the first barrage of spears.
Oh, boy.
And when we turned it back on, the replay was showing with Braun's music playing in the background. So I had to watch the 4 power slams on replay.
Oh.
But, I mean, like, I was pretty pissed because I had to pull my phone up for a brief second. But, yeah, you know, it was a good sprint. I knew Goldberg was going to lose because he's probably going home for now, you know.
Well, yeah, definitely. He was going to lose no matter what.
You know, Right. Just like, and that also brings up why, you know, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit before we close the show. But that's why I think, depending on car placement, Brock might retain. But because he ain't going anywhere. So kind of the same situation with Shayna and Becky, but we'll get to that. But yeah, you know, this was a good sprint. Braun gets some semblance of a moment, and we'll probably get Braun and Roman, which, you know, I'm fine with. Their feud has been, you know, their feud was awesome. So maybe at some point down the line, hopefully, we'll get a Braun and Roman match. And they'll rekindle their feud a little bit, maybe. So maybe that's something we can look forward to.
Would you have Braun go heel, or would you have them both be with, you know, baby faces?
I would probably have, I don't know, that's a good question. Like, I might have Braun go heel, kind of like he did in 2018. But I don't know. That's a good question. I think the match would rule both ways. Yeah. But it'd probably be smarter to have Braun go heel.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? Again, a lot of stuff going on in wrestling now is just up in the air. Absolutely. All right. It's time. AJ Styles and Undertaker were going to wrestle WrestleMania. I mean, that was the given. That was the deal. It was going to be, you know, in Raymond James Stadium. So we would have had them wrestling in the stadium in just a regular match, which, you know, probably would, consider it's AJ Styles, it probably would have been, you know, a really good match, because AJ is going to go out and do what he does anyway. He's going to, you know, buff his ass off and make people look good. Well, no, we got everything changed. So they came up with the idea of doing a Boneyard match. I was like, oh, shit. And then all this stuff has been going on with the promos and AJ calling him Mark Calloway and referencing Michelle McCool. And then Undertaker's promo from Monday was probably the best promo of his life. And just tremendous, you know, build and stuff for this program. And then you hear about what they're going to do. You know, they're filming this, and it's, the expectations were there. You know, how are they going to do this? And then you think about who's involved in production now in the company. It's Jeremy Borash, who has experience in doing something like this. It's Jeremy Borash, of course, did all the Matt Hardy stuff in TNA. So you kind of know what's coming. Well. No one could have expected what we saw in this. This was amazing in every single way. AJ showing up in the hearse in a casket, and the Druids pulling him out. Calling out the Undertaker. Undertaker driving to the graveyard in a motorcycle while Metallica blasted. Oh, I mean, the scene was set. Then they would show them, and their names would pop up like it was a movie. Oh, and then they started fighting, and my God, they were hard, man. Undertaker bashed his arm into the window of the limo, the hearse, on a show that Goldberg worked, no less, and busted his arm open. Yeah, so we got blood, we got juice, and. Yeah, I mean, this was all about Taker talking shit about AJ, about mentioning his wife and all that shit. And they just brought him all over the yard. And then Taker dropped him into the grave. At that point, Gallows and Anderson showed up. And then all of a sudden, this barn lit up, and all of a sudden, the walls come tumbling down, and there was these druids come out to surround the Undertaker. They were social distancing, too. So Taker's like, all right. So he started beating them up. Then Gallows and Anderson. Then AJ came back, broke a headstone over Taker's back. And then they just brawling over the place. And Styles taunted Taker. Taker flipped them off. Styles broke a shove over his back, and Taker fell into the grave. So then Styles got this huge John Deere forklift tractor and getting ready to put dirt on the grave. And then all of a sudden, Taker appeared like there was nothing wrong. I just could not believe what I was watching at this point in time. So AJ started running away. He climbed the ladder on the barn to get to the second level. You know you're screwed. If you watch movies, you know you're screwed when something like that happens. You got nowhere else to go. So there comes Alex Anderson up there with him. Gallows was thrown off the building. Anderson got tombstone. And that didn't feel good. Then Taker chokeslam AJ off the building into some type of wooden area. Music's playing throughout all this, by the way. It's just full insanity. We got a whole score for this. God bless him. So Styles is apologizing to Taker. Please don't bury me. Please don't bury me. Taker's talking mad shit to him. He's hugged him. Gave me a good fight, brother. You know, I mean, it's just insane. Taker just in his normal voice. Well, not his normal voice, but normal enough voice. And he kicked AJ into the grave. He got in the forklift. He buried AJ alive. As Undertaker walked past the grave, he pulled the sheet off of it, revealing AJ's headstone. Then they showed the grave, and AJ's hand was sticking up out of the grave. Taker puts his bandana on, gets on a motorcycle, raised his hand. The barn catches on fire. His logo lights up, and he drives off into the night. Are you fucking kidding me right now? This was insane. It was amazing. I loved it so much. I cannot praise this highly enough. This was WrestleMania worthy right here. It's to the point now where I think big matches like this, they can't be inside a stadium anymore. They have to do it on location. I know we've got one on night two, and we're going to talk about that, but my God, this was excellent. I mean, I made the joke on Twitter that the Canon Films logo should have showed up after this, you know, because it felt like a cheesy 80s or 90s Canon film. Oh, love this so much. And I know you did too, so I want to talk about it.
Yeah, this this was amazing. I have some questions. Just back behind some like old church in Florida, or is this behind was this behind Tim Evans?
I have no idea.
Thrones like score in the background, like anytime Taker was on offense, you'd get like that rising crescendo, like babyface comeback that you would hear in like Avengers Infinity War or something.
Yeah.
And then when AJ was on offense, you would get like the sad, sorrowful shit that you would get from like a Game of Thrones death scene or something. Like it was all extremely well done. In and around the 10 barn, I guess it was awesome. I love that you pointed out the druids are social distancing.
Yeah.
My guess is the druid for the based on the size of the druids, I bet that was a 205 live crew, Chris. I'm dead serious. I really hope that was them.
They should have got some of the indie wrestlers who missed payoffs for this weekend and brought them in the Druid.
Yep. Could have been. Gallows and Anderson were great in this too.
Oh yeah.
The
I was hoping for your mayor to show up, but he's too busy. He's got too many things going on right now. He's fighting the governor.
I know. Right. Yep. You're exactly right. fighting for our civil liberties, but this was awesome. The ending was also amazing with the AJ's hand being left out of the grave, like it's in your house buried alive in 96.
That was a good callback.
Yes, it was. And of course the ending was tremendously great. That's like the best ending to a WWE pay-per-view ever. It's not even close. With like Taker hopping back onto his bike and like riding off into the night. And the setting was great because it's in Florida, so you got, you know, so you have all hanging from the trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it looks even more cool.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. This was really awesome. I'm sure, you know, I mean, he probably doesn't care that much, but I, you know, you got to imagine what the hell Matt Hardy's thinking right now.
Well, Evil Uno, the Dark Order, tweeted during the match that's not us.
Right.
And then Justin Davis, who's a guy in the music industry and stuff like that, he said, "Yeah, this is actually good." But yeah, Jeremy Borash, man, he deserved all of it tonight.
Somebody tweeted he deserves an Oscar. I'm with him.
He deserves an Oscar.
Year, depending next year, there might not be a.
Yeah,
he might be the only one up for Oscars.
Yeah, he at least needs to be. He needs Kevin Dunn's job. Put him in charge of production.
Yes. Yeah, he killed it tonight, and I expect the same tomorrow. You know.
Yeah, so. We got the we'll talk about that. We got the Firefly Funhouse tomorrow with Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, and John Cena. And they're gonna do it in some whatever venue, so we'll have some shit going on, and it's gonna be like what we saw tonight, but different because I think it's gonna be more of I wouldn't say comedic, but there's gonna be more, you know, bullshit involved, I would guess, you know, since they already introduced all the characters in the go home angle on SmackDown where they just showed up randomly, so I'm guessing we're gonna have all kind of character shit going on here and funny ha ha.
Oh yeah, that's going to be more reminiscent of like those old Six Flags Halloween scary house shit that Six Flags does.
And hey,
that's going to be more.
And Bray has experience in doing this stuff. Cause I remember the Orton stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, yep. Orton doing this pose in front of a burning house.
Right.
So. My God! All right, so your thoughts on night one of WrestleMania? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. You know, nothing overstayed its welcome. The main event was amazing and lived up and exceeded expectations. There were a couple of results I was a little bit confused and not particularly thrilled with, but nothing that royally pissed me off or anything like that. No match was like blow away great in the ring, but there were several really good matches. All were timed out pretty well. The show was paced really well. 3 hours is a good time.
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that, man. I mean, I was so happy to see it end at tech. Because the reports are out that it was going to end at like 11:30. It's going to be a 4.5-hour show both nights. Could you imagine that? A 9-hour WrestleMania?
Yeah, that would not have been good.
No. Oof.
No.
Yep. And so I'm going to say yes. I agree with you. Thumbs up. Absolutely. Then before the Boneyard match, I was swaying, but the Boneyard match is just an all-time WrestleMania segment. I mean, that's going to be remembered for ages. Be remembered for ages, absolutely. So
definitely
love that. All right, night two tomorrow. What are you expecting from tomorrow night's show?
I expect Brock Lesnar to retain. Because of the situation that we're in, I think that Now, I do think the Becky Shayna McMahon situation, and I could be wrong, and I'm ready to say that I could be wrong, but I think there's a higher possibility of Brock winning now than there ever was. I expect Edge and Orton to be pretty wild. They're going to brawl all over the PC, I would imagine. And I think we're going to get a different type of, you know, and another perspective, another unique, similar but very different match with Cena and The Fiend, which will be interesting. And I also don't think I still don't think we're out of the possibility of a surprise. For example, with that five-way women's elimination match, could somebody involved? Could there be a sixth to get involved? You know, there really hasn't been any rumors to suggest that, but I still think that there's room for a surprise too. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm expecting tomorrow.
Well, that was a thought process. That was supposedly Gronk may find himself in a match. I don't know if that's going to be possible. I mean, it could be. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, I haven't read spoilers, so I don't know. I think Drew's winning. I think that Heyman and you know, they made that thing. They're going to stick with it. I think they got to put Drew over. But I guess it all depends on match placement, too. If that's the last match of the show, then it's a definite slam dunk that Drew's winning.
Yes.
But I still think he's going to do it. I really do. I really do. So I think they made some type of like promise to him, and I think they're going to keep it. So, yeah, and the Firefly Funhouse is going to be a spectacle. Absolutely. I think the interesting match on the show to me, the most interesting match on the show to me, more than anything else, is I think Rhea and Charlotte. And I'll tell you why. We all know how Charlotte's been booked on major shows. So,
yep.
Rhea's got to win, I think. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get there. How they get there with it.
Yeah.
And I think the sleeper match of the show is going to be Austin Theory and Angel Garza against the Street Profits. I think it's got a lot of potential.
That could be good. Yep.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for us tonight. We will be back tomorrow. So, listen to us pontificate again tomorrow. So, for Devin, it's Chris, and we'll say so long from the Peach State of Georgia.